Hi everyone, I'm Casey Ullenhoot. I'm a program manager on the .NET and Visual Studio team. Today I'm going to talk to you at .NET Conf about what's new in Visual Studio 2017 for .NET developers. So hopefully that's what you meant to be watching. So in today's agenda, I'm first going to talk about what Roslyn is and what it means for Visual Studio. And then I'm going to talk about our huge investment into perf and reliability in Visual Studio and Visual Studio 2017. Then hopefully for the most of the time, I'll be demoing how you can be productive right out of the box in Visual Studio 2017. And I'll close with what's coming next and where we hope to go with Visual Studio in the future. So what is Roslyn? Roslyn is the code name for the project where we completely re-architected the C# and Visual Basic compiler into managed code from native code. And we started this about, I think, 8 years ago. I wasn't even here. I got to reap the spoils of it once we finally shipped with Visual Studio 2015. And so why did we invest so much time re-architecting this compiler? Well, there are really two reasons we did it. The first was so that we could write new features faster. So this includes both new language features and new IDE features. So if any of you watched the keynote this morning with Mads Torgersen, you probably saw him showing C# 7.7, 7.1, 7.2, and 8.0. And C# 6 came out only 2 years ago. And we already have all of these releases, and even now point releases, of language features, which would not have been possible without Roslyn. Also, if you're following along with all of the releases of Visual Studio, you'll notice in every single update or preview that we have, we're putting in more code refactorings and code fixes. And so these are all things that we can now do because of the power of Roslyn. The other reason we went open source was so that we can provide an open source API for developers so that anyone can write a code-focused tool or technology. So for example, before we acquired Xamarin, they used in their Xamarin workbooks Roslyn to help power a lot of the analysis behind that. We also make it so if you think that there's a refactoring or a code fix that we don't offer today in Visual Studio that you think we should, we actually have an API surface for you to actually build your own and ship it as an extension or a NuGet. And so that's why we invested so much in Roslyn and why we're now able to really leverage the power of it. And so Visual Studio 2017 is a big deal for my team because it's actually the first major release since we actually shipped Roslyn, where we've been able to truly take advantage of all the parts of it, which is why I saw .NET Bot doing a little dance there. All right, so now let's get into real talk. So we've spent a lot of work into improving the performance and reliability of Visual Studio in 2017. So we're constantly now monitoring the crash and hang rates of Visual Studio and investigating the reasons behind that. We've actually reached out to tons of companies and individuals who are experiencing perf problems to figure out what's going wrong and either customizing solutions or, you know, realizing things about solutions that we didn't realize that people did and fixing Visual Studio accordingly. We have a ton of new steps to actually improve perf for large solutions that I'll briefly talk about in a second. And then we have a new, fast, lightweight install experience in Visual Studio so you can save time when installing. And we're actually now tracking install rates for Visual Studio so we can help improve those as well. So what have we done to save you time in Visual Studio and the performance and reliability aspect? Well, we've moved a ton of analysis out of the main Visual Studio process. So this should mean that you shouldn't really ever experience typing latency or UI delays inside Visual Studio because most of our analysis is now out of that main process. We made a toggle so that you can enable or disable full solution analysis. So what is full solution analysis? Full solution analysis basically means if you make a code change in one file, we're actually going to analyze your entire solution to see if you broke something in any other file in your solution. And so we're constantly crawling over your entire code base to figure out if you broke something based on a change you made, which is awesome. But also, if you have a large solution, that's like a huge code base to constantly crawl over. So we've now actually made it so you can toggle this on or off. We've invested a ton in improved solution load. So I'm about to show you a video in like 2 seconds where you can see the improvements that we've made in solution load. And then again, the install experience. When you install Visual Studio, it takes me like maybe 15 minutes to install it today, whereas before it would take maybe hours. So here is a side-by-side video that's going to show our improvements just between Visual Studio 2017 version 15.3 and Visual Studio 2017 version 15.5, which is yet to be released. So if I play this video, you'll see that we're just double-clicking on a project that has, I think, around 10, 15 projects in it from the start page. And then as it's loading it, within 12 seconds in Visual Studio 2017 15.5, we've actually had it loaded and ready for you to start navigating and writing code. Whereas in 15.3, which is out today, it took double that time. And so we're really just knuckling down on solution load performance to make it so that you don't have to take that coffee break in the morning when you open your solution. You know, you can just get coding right away. And again, this install experience I'm talking about, for those of you who are new to Visual Studio 2017, you'll notice that the install experience is completely different. We now allow you to pick and choose what components you want to install. We'll actually give you the size of the install based on that. And so if you never do C++ development and you're a .NET developer, you don't need to install anything C++ related. All right, so if we don't have any questions, which it doesn't look like we do, we're just going to go ahead and jump into VS. So here I have just like a simple skill. Like it's one of those like Alexa skill, Cortana skill type of thing. I wrote a library for it. And it's written using .NET Core. I know that it's .NET Core because I can zoom in and I can see I have a dependencies node here. And again, if I look under this, rather than being references, it's now dependencies. And I have NuGets. And under here, I can see that I have .NET Core. So one thing that we've done in Visual Studio 2017 is we've made lightweight projects. This means that we have file globbing support, for example. So if I come in here and I drag this file from the File Explorer into my main project here, you'll see it instantly appear here. And so we now allow you to stay in sync between the File Explorer and the Solution Explorer. So if you're ever bringing in files, like pulling or pushing files, everyone on your team should be in sync immediately. If I actually look inside this direction file, you'll notice I have an error because I have some merge conflict markers in here. And if I actually investigate this, we've added tons of new refactorings and code fixes inside each release of VS and each update. This one is actually saying that we're going to resolve this merge conflict for you. So I can take the head, the upstream, or both changes, and then commit them, and it'll clean it all up for me. So speaking of merge conflicts, another thing that we've done to make projects more lightweight is we've changed the CS proj file. So you'll notice rather than having to unload my project and then reload it later to edit the CS proj file, I can now immediately edit it. And when I do this, you'll notice that the CS proj file is now totally different looking than it used to be. It's like a bajillion times smaller. And you'll notice that this new direction file that I added doesn't exist in the CS proj file, meaning you're going to have less merge conflicts with all the files you're adding and removing in your CS proj file, which is pretty cool. So all of these changes that we've made to make projects more lightweight currently only exist for .NET Core projects, but we are currently experimenting to figure out if we can bring them to other project types in the future. So if you've been staying up to date on Visual Studio 2017, you may know that we have, heard all the buzz about this new feature that we have in enterprise only called live unit testing. So I can start live unit testing by going to test live unit testing start. So before I explain what live unit testing is, let's take a step back and real talk about how people unit test today. When we unit test today, we're basically constantly fighting between how many tests we need to run to make sure that we've covered our code change with confidence, but also picking few enough tests that we don't have to wait forever for the code change or for the tests to run. And so we always have this tension between confidence and time. And then once we finally figure out what that set of tests is that we want to run, we then have to manually click a button to run the tests. And then we actually have to navigate to a separate code window to see our results. And so we lose actually the context of our development. So what live unit testing does is it turns that paradigm on its head. So if I come down here, you'll notice that what live unit testing is doing is it's figuring out what code change you made and what tests are impacted by that change, running only those tests, and then updating these icons in line in the editor to let you know the state of your tests. So for example, a red X means this line of code is hit by at least one failing test. A green check means this line of code is hit by all passing tests. And then at the very bottom here, you'll notice that there's a blue dash, which might be the most important one, which lets you know that this line of code is not covered by any tests at all. I can click on one of these icons to see which tests are hitting this line, and I can double click on the test itself to navigate directly to it. So in a test file, you'll notice there's a new icon. It's this little beaker. And what does that beaker mean? So we realized, you know, one of our big things that we're working on is trying to improve Visual Studio performance. So if you do have a huge solution where you have hundreds, if not thousands, of unit tests, we don't want you to have to feel like you have to run all of those tests live all the time. So what we actually allow you to do is to determine which tests you want to be in your live test set. So for example, if I'm only ever working in one project with one unit test project involved, I can go to the Solution Explorer, right-click, go to Live Unit Testing, and choose to include, exclude, or exclude all unit test projects except for this one. You can also do the same thing with a single unit test. So if you know you have a unit test that's super long running, you can just exclude it. So you can right-click, Live Unit Testing, and choose to exclude this. When you exclude it, you'll notice that the little beaker icon has become empty, letting you know that it's not part of your live test anymore, your live test set anymore. And again, you can just right-click and include it again. So Live Unit Testing, include. So I'm not totally sure why this test is failing, so I'm just going to go ahead and start debugging it by right-clicking and pressing Debug Tests. You also could, from that beaker or from any of the icons in Live Unit Testing, select the tests you want to run and debug them from there. So you don't even have to navigate to the test location to immediately start debugging it. Now I'm only going to show one unit test feature here, or one debugging feature here, because Casey and Nikhil are doing a whole session tomorrow on all the cool debugging stuff in Visual Studio 2017. So I'll just direct you to their talk to learn more. So you'll see here that I've thrown an exception. Whoops. And if we look a little closer, you can see this is the new exception helper that's part of Visual Studio 2017. In the new exception helper, we try to put the most important information to developers at the top. So for example, I have thrown a null reference exception. So the thing I care most about is, well, what was null? And so you can see here that it's telling me that my variable lat was returning null. And this even works if you have a dotted chain of expressions. So it'll tell you which expression in that dotted chain is returning null. So I'm just going to stop debugging and actually try to fix this. So if I come in here, which I don't need Solution Explorer open anymore, rather than having to come in here and actually, you know, type this all out, like, you know, if lat is null, blah, 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 like no one cares. That takes so much time and effort to fix one little mistake I made. I can just use, again, one of the many code refactorings that we've added. So I can press Control Dot, and you can see that we now allow you to add a null check in here. And so with just a click, I can add that one, and then I can, you know, cursor over and add my null check for the other one. You'll notice that live unit testing, the icons faded and show little clocks, meaning that it was running the tests. And then it's going to update the icons in line to let you know the status of your code. So now I can see all my tests are now passing. Great, so now all my unit tests are passing. I'm like, good to go, I can check this in, right? Except that it turns out when you're riding the bus, it depends on what direction it's going. So, you know, it's a real bummer to catch the bus going the wrong way. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly navigate to my stop class because it depends on what bus stop I go to for what direction the bus is going. So to do that, I'm going to use Control T. Control T allows me to quickly navigate to any file, let's zoom in here, file, type, member, or symbol declaration from a single location. This is actually not a new feature, but we've rebranded it in Visual Studio 2017 and added a couple enhancements to it. So it used to be known as Navigate To, and you would access it with Control Comma. You can still access it with Control Comma, but we've now added Control T as well. So from here, I know I want to go to stop, and so I can just type in stop, and you can see all the different types in, or all the different categories in here. But I actually am only looking for files, so I can just type F, stop, and then navigate directly there. So basically, all I want to do is add another parameter to my constructor. So I can just come in here, type direction. And if you watched Mads' keynote this morning, he'll have showed this off already. But just to recap it, we now have smart variable naming in here. So we're actually going to infer what you probably wanted to name this and suggest it to you. We've actually gone the step further, and we've used the Humanizer open source package to actually help you pluralize this as well. So if you have a list, we're going to pluralize it for you. And it, you know, the open source package is awesome, so if you have person, it's going to offer people. And so this is just to really help you like not even have to think about what you want to name things, because you know we got your back. Again, from this that I just typed, I can press Control Dot and create and initialize as a property, and press Control Dot again to add the null check for it. And so in two clicks of a button, I got all of this code written for me without me having to move around anywhere. So the last thing I need to do is so that JSON can actually serialize this, I need to add my attribute. So if I start typing in here, you'll notice that IntelliSense is completely different from the way it was in 2015. This is because we now highlight what you've actually typed in. So you'll notice that I typed JSON, and all the JSONs in my completion list are bolded to let you know why you're seeing these things. So I can do this. I want my converter, type of, and then now, you'll notice that we also have all of these icons across the bottom that let you filter your completion list. So it's pretty, we also have keyboard shortcuts associated with them. So they're pretty intuitive what they are. Like, they're all an alt combination. So interfaces are alt I, classes alt C, et cetera. And so I'm actually looking for a direction converter. So live unit testing is now telling me this entire file is not covered by any tests, which makes sense because I now completely changed my constructor. So what I'm going to do is I actually need to figure out where are all the places I need to update my constructor. So I'm just going to, or my instantiations of this. So I'm going to do find all references. You'll notice that find all references is completely different now. It's now colorized, so it looks more like code rather than plain text. And we actually allow you to group these things. So that's easier for you to parse. So now I can tell, oh, I only actually use my constructor once, and so I can just quickly navigate there. So from here, I can just add a new direction. I believe it's going north, and there we have it. And it turns out, you know, that maybe, I mean, knowing the cardinal direction of your bus, I find very difficult. So maybe we should take the user's like best two guesses of what direction it's going. So then I could add another parameter here, or another argument. So let's say west, because I honestly have no idea what direction my bus is going. From here, you'll see I get a code diagnostic giving me an error. Again, I can press Control Dot, We actually now made it so you can press Alt-Enter as well here. And it's telling me that I can add a parameter to my constructor. And so I could have done all that work I did earlier just by going to the call site and adding something here. But I don't feel like doing that work right now, so we're just gonna skip over that. So now I just wanna go back to where I was before. So I'm just gonna type in MBI. So you'll notice that our go to all feature supports camel case matching. So rather than having to type out my bus info, which is pretty long and I'm lazy, I can now just type MBI and it'll figure out what I wanted from there. And so now I can quickly navigate back. So how cool would it be if I could now make it so that, you know, my Cortana skill or Alexa skill could actually speak my results? So I'm going to come up here and I'm going to create a method that's going to help me craft text for speech. Got to spell speech right. So we're going to make a new method. It's going to return a string. We'll make everything short. We'll just copy these parameters. This is actually the name of the method we want to call. So we'll say our arrivals that we want to get. Short name, lat, lon. Let's go. All right, so then we just want to grab the first one because we're just doing a little prototype here to test. So we're just going to grab the first one and the minutes. But it turns out when you're trying to actually have this be spoken, it depends. Oh, I forgot, wait. It actually depends if they're saying, if it's 1 minute, you know, we only want to say minute. But if it's more than 1 minute, we want to say minutes. So we want to have the what our Cortana skill or Alexa skill actually returns, you know, fix that. So we're just going to use that same humanizer package that we talked about that actually Roslyn used earlier to help you with variable naming. We're just going to use that ourselves in here. So we're going to get our humanized units. And so it's going to be if our minute is 1, then we're going to make it return minute. Otherwise, we're going to humanize this thing. So vocabularies, default, and then pluralize minutes. So we're going to little pluralize minute. And then we're going to return. So I'm going to use string interpolation, which if you're not using the C# 6 feature, you should because it's amazing. So your next bus name comes in that many, then whatever our units are. Great. So you notice that I'm actually referencing a type that I don't have anything installed for or any usings for. So what I can do is, again, control dot, which is your one-stop shop for literally everything in VS. I can now install this package. So Visual Studio now offers to install this package for you, and it will find and install the latest version and add the reference for you as well. And so I can do this, and it's going to fix it all up for me, which is great. And again, live unit testing is picking up on my changes and updating in line to let me know that all my tests are still passing. So if you're looking closely, you're going to notice that there's all of these like gray dots inside the editor. And contrary to some belief, this is not a smudge. This is a code suggestion. Code suggestions allow you to basically hint best practices or alternate coding patterns to developers to help them learn new things. So for example, here, if I press Control dot and investigate, it's telling me to use the explicit type instead of var. So before everyone has a panic attack and goes into the var wars, This is on purpose because this is part of our new code style configuration and enforcement in Visual Studio 2017. What I mean by this is you can go to Tools, Options, and then come down here to Text Editor, C#, Code Style. And you'll see there's a ton of new code style rules that you can now enforce in your code base. And so, you know, there's tons of different ones in here on var or this dot, et cetera. And there's also naming rules that you can write and configure in here as well. And so you can choose how you want them enforced in the editor. So if you don't want them enforced at all, you can turn them off by naming them none. You can make it a suggestion with those gray dots. You can make it a warning or an error. So that seems great, right? Like, so now I can enforce my code style across my entire code base. But what happens if my team wants to enforce it, wants it to travel with the entire code? Like, you can't do that with Tools Options. And what if, like, for example, you can see in here that I tell you to use the explicit type instead of var. And in my unit test, I do the same. But actually, in my unit test, like, I don't care what style you use as long as you're using writing a unit test, like lowest friction possible to writing a unit test. So I actually want to turn that rule completely off. So to do that, we actually worked with the editor config community to extend their file format so that now you can have your own code conventions travel with your source. So to do that, I can press Control T, go to my editor config file. So the ones that typically come with an editor config file are like indent style, indent size, etc. And we've worked with their community to actually extend it to now work for .NET code style. So you can see here your this dot preferences or how you want to interact with tuples, for example. And then we have C# specific rules as well, so like var preferences and expression bodied preferences. And so if I actually want this to be different, the way that editor config works is it applies to everything within a directory. So right now I have this editor config at my solution directory level. So if I come up here, you'll see it's a solution item. But I can actually add an editor config file to a child directory to have that overwrite the rules. So I can come in here and I can actually say, I don't care if you use var. In fact, I kind of prefer you use var because it's faster to write or whatever your justification is. And I can actually say none. And you'll notice as I'm typing that I'm getting this cool IntelliSense in here, and that's because I'm using Mads K's editor config language service extension that is super cool because it tells you what project the editor config applies to. Gives you this cool IntelliSense in here, and then we'll also tell you down here, you can see that it's telling you where you're inheriting other rules from if you have another editor config. So for now, you actually have to close all open files to see your changes. So like when you make a change in editor config, any open files won't have it apply, but that's why Control T is the best thing ever because now I can just quickly open this. And so you'll notice here in my unit test project that all my vars are unmarked inside the editor because I turned that rule off. And if I go back to my bus info class, you'll see that all my vars are still marked. So an editor config file is much more flexible than Tools Options, letting you configure how you want things in different projects. You can do it for different files as well, and it travels completely with your code. So it's pretty awesome. And again, if we come in here, it also works for naming rules. So this is what a naming rule looks like. And it works for different formatting rules as well. So editor config is truly flexible. Code style convention, or coding convention enforcement file. Great. So I made those changes. So that's one thing that I can do with these code suggestions. So I can use code suggestions to help enforce code style across my entire team. But if we come back to this example, when it's telling me to use the explicit type, you can see that it's uncovering that I'm using a tuple here. Which again, if you saw Mads Torgersen's talk this morning, tuples are new in C# 7, which shipped with Visual Studio 2017 RTW. And tuples are great because they allow you to return multiple things from a method. So you can see here that I've actually even named my tuple elements. So I've named them route and stop. So if I actually investigate this method I'm in, you can see that rather than calling my tuple elements by their names, I'm using their default names of item 1 and item 2. And as a result, I'm getting a code suggestion because of it. So if I investigate this, you can see that's telling me to use the explicitly provided tuple name instead. So I can go ahead and do that for both of these. So this just makes it cleaner to read and easier for other people to read. And it's just a code suggestion to help you learn new language features. And as I made these code changes, a new edit appeared here. And if I investigate this, it's saying, hey, you're only ever using these tuples elements. So, and you're never actually passing the entire tuple to anything. So why don't you just go ahead and deconstruct it? And it's actually giving me the whole style of how you deconstruct a tuple right there. So I don't even have to go to documentation and look it up. We just offer to do it for you. And so because I did that, now when I access those tuple elements, it's much cleaner. So rather than having to do info.stop.id, it's now just stop.id. And so that's, again, where code suggestions become really helpful because it just really helps you learn new language features. So if I keep scrolling down, you'll notice it's not a code suggestion, but just something that I've noticed in this code base is I have this huge line of faded code. So if I investigate this, Visual Studio is telling me that we detected unreachable code and that I should just go ahead and remove this. So sure enough, I can't do anything with this code. So I'm just going to go ahead and remove it. And so anytime you have unreachable code, we're now going to fade it out to you, letting you know that that code is unnecessary and you don't need it. So you've now seen how you can use code suggestions for enforcing code style and for learning new language features. What else can you do with them? Like, what are examples of best practices? So if any of you are familiar with Visual Studio and its past, you will know something called FXCOP. FXCOP is basically just a library or a tool that has a bunch of, you know, code rules around API design and best practices to let you learn new things. So like API design, security, performance, where you can improve your code base. So what we've done is we actually took the top 100 most used FXCOP rules and converted them into Roslyn analyzers. What this means is that they are now live inside the editor. So if you violate a rule inside the editor, sorry, having some necklace issues. If you now change a rule inside the editor, you'll now get live feedback on it. And we also will provide fixes for you. So I can come in here and press Control Dot. And now it's telling me that I should make this class static instead. And so again, in one fix, I can now apply this. And it was telling me to make it static because here I have a class with all static members. And so that's just another example of how you can use code suggestions to help you improve your code base. So something else you may have noticed in here, I'm not sure what my screen resolution is like, but hopefully you all online can see that there are all these like faded gray dots connecting braces. And so these are indent guides. If any of you are productivity power tool users, you may have recognized this from that. And so you can hover over this, and if I hover over, it's telling me that, you know, in this file, I have another type besides bus helpers. I have the MyStop info type. And so, you know, I think it's easier to navigate code bases if every type is in a file with the same name. So to do this, I can just press Control Dot, and it's now just going to offer to move this type to a file with the same name. Voila. And so now you can see up here, if I scroll to the top, that I now only have one file in here, or one type in here. And you can actually see that my type name and my file name are out of sync. So here I have it called my stop info, but up here I have it called my bus info. So I can press control dot, and it's going to offer for me to rename my type to match my file, to put everything back in sync. As I've been navigating around, you may have noticed that sometimes it looks like different types are links. And that's because, again, if you're a Productivity Power Tool user, we've incorporated the feature control click for go to definition. So I can now press control and click on this to go to definition. So it'll take me right there. Ooh, now I can see questions. Cool. Let's see. Let me answer some questions while I'm at a good break point. Can Visual Studio 2017 be installed alongside Visual Studio 2015 and 2010 on the same machine? It should be able to. That's the goal. So yes. What about the unavailability of extensions for Visual Studio 2017-15-3? Not possible to reach extension server. I'm not sure what that could be. It sounds like it would be a bug. So definitely file that or leave feedback, because I do not know what that is about. When will 15.5 be released? So yeah, good point. A lot of what I've shown you is not actually in 15.3. Some of it's in 15.4, and some of it's in 15.5. I do not know if I'm at liberty to say when these things will be released, so stay tuned. Does Live Unit Test only support MS Test, or does it support others like NUnit and XUnit? Great question. Live Unit Testing works for MS Test, NUnit, and XUnit. So it works for all three. If you are going to use NUnit or XUnit, you just need to make sure you have the right unit test runner installed. But other than that, it should be good to go. These other questions are too long, so just going to move on. So what I was showing you before was we incorporated a lot of things from Productivity Power Tools. So we're just going to revisit that. So one of the things that we've done is control click. So I can now actually, you know, from a type, I can press control and click on it to navigate there. And so you can see here, we're taking a metadata as source. Cool. All right, so that is pretty much all I have to show for new things in Visual Studio. Are there any other questions on what I've immediately shown in VS? Let's go full screen here. All right, so what did we just see? Mainly our goal in Visual Studio 2017 is to help developers write better code faster. So we're adding more refactorings and quick fixes all the time. We've done a ton of navigation improvements. So you saw Control T for Go to All, which supports camel case matching and allows you to quickly navigate to any file type, member, or symbol declaration. You saw the enhanced final references, where it's now colorized. You can now group your results in there. We have control click for navigation. So if you're a mouse user, or if it's just really easy for you to just, you know, as you're going through your code base and scrolling, to just control click to go to definition, we now support that. We have live unit testing, which is an enterprise only feature, but it's great for helping save time. And you'll notice that entire demo I just did, live unit testing was running in the background and constantly updating to let me know that all my tests were still passing without me having to lose that context of my development, which is where the real power of live unit testing comes in. You saw some debugging enhancements, like that new exception helper, where it's going to show you when you throw a null reference exception what is actually null. And again, Casey and Nikhil will be going over tomorrow more debugging improvements that we've made. What I'm super excited about is that we now have code style configuration and enforcement inside the editor using editor config. Currently, if you configure something as an error, it will not actually break your build unless you're inside VS, but we're actually actively working on it now to make it so that you can actually get these enforced on the command line so you can integrate them with your CI, CD, et cetera, so that, you know, if you're a real stickler for code style rules and everything being consistent, you can now enforce everything as an error and people won't be able to build if they violate a rule. And then we have tons of IntelliSense improvements. So you saw the filtering, the highlighting, and the smart variable naming as well. So we've been able to add a ton of new features in Visual Studio 2017, and this is across multiple updates and what's kind of a sneak peek at what's coming. So we're pretty excited about that. And again, it's because of Roslyn that we're able to add these things so quickly and get all of this, all these productive features to you to make you write better code faster. So what's coming next? So again, more refactorings and quick fixes. What more could you want? More. The biggest two that we keep hearing are the ability to convert a for loop to a link expression. So we'll have to look into doing that. And then adjust namespaces, which is similar to that keeping a type and file name in sync. We also want to do the same for namespaces and folders. And so that's what that feature is. A lot of people on the navigation front want the ability to navigate to decompiled sources. So rather than going to metadata as source, if you all know what that is, they want to now actually have us decompile the source so they can actually see what's happening in a third-party library or assembly to get a better idea of what's going on. As I showed you earlier, we now detect unreachable code in a future version of or in a future update of VS, but we don't do it for dead code yet. So dead code analysis is a big thing that people want to know. So if there's no references to a method, I want to know I can delete it. So let me know. So that's something that we're going to work on. Razor support, woohoo, all you web devs out there, we got you. We're going to work on having it so all refactorings and navigation work seamlessly between Razor files and CS files. Classification of locals and fields just means a lot of people want to be able to distinguish fields and locals and all these things different with color or text adornment. So they're like, oh, I want all fields to be italic. And so that's something that we need to add as well. On the IntelliSense, people really want to be able to have IntelliSense for types without the usings yet. So just like when I was using that humanizer before, I should just be able to dot off things and have it automatically suggest and complete things for me, knowing that it's coming from that package. And then now that we have all this great code style configuration enforcement, rather than being able to fix everything one at a time, I want to be able to bulk fix all of my code style inconsistencies in one go. And so that's another big thing that we have to work on. So with everything I just showed, I just want to point out that the onboarding experience inside Visual Studio is now going to be completely different. So not only is installing Visual Studio way faster, so again, it took me like 15 minutes, so in under a day, you can now install VS. But now also, rather than having to direct a new developer on your team to some OneNote or like random text file somewhere that has all your different coding conventions in it, you can now just codify all of these inside a single file, an editor config file, and have it travel with your source code. And so rather than them getting beat up in a code review later for using var instead of explicit type, they will get those warnings inside the editor as they're typing so they can clean them up on the fly. And then now we have so many refactorings and code fixes included inside of Visual Studio from the get-go that you don't need to spend extra time going to install other extensions just to get productive right away. And so this is how we kind of see the new onboarding experience inside Visual Studio. So I know I like just shared a ton of stuff, and my team and I are working really hard to actually document all of this. So this is a slide that has a ton of our documentation for things. So we have like a cheat sheet for learning new keyboard shortcuts, all of that cool editor config stuff I showed is now documented, so you can learn how you can have enforce code formatting rules, naming conventions, and other code style rules inside the editor. There's tons of refactorings and code fixes, so I'm working hard to actually make sure that we update our documentation with all of those new ones that we do. And then anyone, as I was saying earlier, can write their own custom analyzer and code fix. So we have documentation for how to get started writing your own. And then again, Mads talked about all the new C# features that we have. And so we have all those documented as well. Oops. Here are other talks that you might be interested in. So keep those on board. And so now I'll see if we have any questions that I missed. So the question is, let's see how to paraphrase this. Basically, now that all your projects are automatically synced between the File Explorer and Solution Explorer, how do you exclude a file that you don't want to be included? Pretty sure you can still do this the normal way. Not sure if I know it off the top of my head, but there should be, I think you might have to actually go into the CS proj and actually have a tag in there to exclude it, but I'm pretty sure there's a way to do this. I just don't know it off the top of my head. Right now, you cannot see remote repositories. If a project contains multiple repositories, any rumors of bringing that back? I'm assuming that has to do with Team Explorer. I do not know what is going on with Team Explorer today, but I will forward this feedback to them so that they can see this. All right, are there any other questions? I guess I'll wait a couple seconds. All right, so I'm not seeing any other questions, so thanks for staying tuned and listening to What's New in Visual Studio 2017 for .NET Developers. We can't wait to see what you think. Thanks, bye.